Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm Eli Roth, and the upcoming second season of my podcast, A Ghost Ruined My Life from Travel, you'll hear real horrifying accounts from actual victims who came face to face with a paranormal and survived.
It was the shape of a small human, and it was pure blackness, like nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
A ghost? You saw a ghost?
Yeah, I did.
Listen to A Ghost Ruined My Life with Eli Roth from Travel, wherever you get your podcasts, and prepare to be terrified.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, where I am thrilled and fortunate to be able to speak to you right now because my voice sucks. I'm being honest. My voice has been crap for 2 weeks. I've been coughing. It's been hurting. And at any point in time, Shep may have to take over. Hey, Shep, you gotta take over, man. I'm about to cough myself to death. Go ahead, Shep, do some stuff.
Gotcha.
I'll be right here.
Gotcha. So obviously you're listening to the JR Sport Brief here on CBS Sports Radio. However, wherever you may be listening from, we greatly appreciate you, JR. Has been fighting through a 2 week duration of a very scratchy voice, but I know he loves the show so much that he powers through it like a prize fighter. Like a world-class athlete. And that is the JR we have come to know and love. So you know the phone number to get aboard, 855-212-4CBS. That is 855-212-4227. You know, we talked a lot about college
football.
There's
a big fight tomorrow. There's a big fight
there,
tomorrow.
There you are.
Yeah, I am. I have to cough, man. It's terrible.
I know. I heard you, man. I hear you. You know, JR, I know we got a lot of callers. I'm going to get to them momentarily.
Yeah,
I am surprised that not enough people are calling about Caleb Williams.
Why?
It seems like the momentum of Oregon and Deion.
Colorado. Yes.
Right. I don't see the same kind of love and attention being given to USC, which
December,
is a much
bro.
Bigger program than Dan Lanning, JR.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley himself is a bigger deal than Dan Lanning, not to mention the fact.
You're not talking crap.
Well, Lanning wasn't really talking crap before the game. He was with the cameras when they were on him during the game that he had no problem saying. But I find this game as being completely underhyped.
Yes, because the Colorado got their asses whooped. That's why.
But it's still Deion Sanders. They're 3-1.
Yeah.
The season is not lost.
It's not. But the wind, for the entertainment aspect of it, like the wind is out the sails, man.
I mean, I know I'm really picking at straws here, but and I'm really trying to see the glass half full. But they did stay with them in the second half. It was a 7-6 game.
What game are you talking about?
Oregon and Colorado. Like, yeah, they blew them out of the first half, 35-0. But they stay with them in the second half. Like, I don't think, like Deion said it after the game. He said,
"That's the worst that we're gonna be." Da, da,
yeah,
da, da.
Yeah, yeah. Like you know, that's the same thing. By the way, that we heard from Dan Hurley at Connecticut in the beginning of the season when they had that like rough 5-game stretch, and he was like, "You better get us now." And that's what this reminds me of. College football is a marathon. It is no longer a sprint. It is no longer the voters are going to determine who they believe are the best two teams. No, we have a 4-team playoff, and by next year it's going to be 12-team. They will be in the college football playoff sooner than later, JR. They may still be there when it's all said and done.
So are you surprised that there's not as much attention
Correct.
For this game?
Correct, because we're dealing with the greatest NFL prospect in the last 10 years in Caleb Williams. And Deion Sanders, if not for Travis Kelce, is the biggest name in all of sports,
so
even with a loss.
Why do you feel it hasn't garnered attention? What has gotten attention instead? Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Yeah, Taylor Swift, you know, people are talking about the Lions, and rightfully so, 3-1, should have been 4-0 had they took care of business against Seattle. But JR, but like for example, just point blank, the phone lines were lighting up last week about Deion versus the Ducks. That's all right. That everyone wanted to talk about. We have a lot of callers, lines are full, but not one person wants to talk about USC versus Colorado, given the history of both teams.
I don't think it has anything to do with Taylor Swift or any of the other stories capturing attention. I just think that Colorado, I'm not saying it hit its peak, but in an interest type of way of, oh my God, look at what they're doing, I think it did. And so I think the way they lost last week and a lot of people being happy with the way they lost, it took the wind out of the sails a little bit. And I think naturally, it wasn't sustainable unless they won again. And it might hype back up if they win tomorrow. And I know it's an early game tomorrow. I think, 12 East and 9 Pacific. So they got to win for it to see a change, no? If we're going to see it go back in that direction, they got to win the game. If they lose, they get smacked again, it's going to be even less interesting.
Yeah, that's fair. But I also think as much as people want to disintegrate Deion Sanders and see him out to pasture and not want to have him do anything with college football, I think the thing we like being torn down more is when people bounce back. And I think there's a lot of people out there that want to see this man bounce back.
It's one game.
Yeah.
And either way, I still think what they've done to start the season is great, and I think his tenure has started off great. I think the potential of the program while he's there is awesome. I mean, the conversations that everybody has had about, you know, what's the future? What's his future? How long is he there? I mean, all legitimate. So
fair.
People will look at one loss and just try to just big it up, but ain't that bad. Hey, Shep, take a call before I die. Go ahead.
I got you. Well, JR, we have the lines full. Let's get to our buddy Greg. He's been waiting the longest. He always brings positivity. I have a feeling it's not going to be about the Detroit Lions. It is going to be about the Buffalo Bills. Shocker, Greg and the Bills. That's never happened before. Greg, you're on with JR on CBS Sports Radio. What you doing, my friend, and what you got for us?
Hey, you guys, Mr. Positive. I got to tell you, I love the talk about philosophy and the merits of technology. I was on national TV talking about the advent of Tupac Shakur finding out who shot him, and I was talking about rap and hip-hop. Do they arguably cause murders and violence? You know, the musical genre of rap and hip-hop. And it was a very enlightening conversation, let me tell you.
I think poverty does that. Everything
passed
out is a trickle down.
You're spot on. It's the hip hop and the rap music world. It's a narrative that talks to about, like you just said, poverty, and it speaks to the youth that grew up in that type of environment, whether you're white or black, and it just gives you an outlet. Going to the Bills, what do they need to do to beat this juggernaut, Miami?
Besides pray? I'm sorry. That's a little unnecessary.
Are they going to lose?
You know what? I feel like the Bills got the cobwebs out versus the Jets. Although, Greg, here's the thing. When you're Miami and you have Mostert playing the way that he played, and then you have a rookie sensation, and then you have, obviously, Tua Tagovailoa. Let's make sure we pronounce that right. And he is playing with a mission.
Say his whole name.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't do the 18-letter first
Tua
name.
Tua Donald Tagovailoa.
JR, I would strike out every which way. Let's be honest. Most people can't even get the Tua Tagovailoa right. But Greg, to answer your question specifically, this just, and I know JR was talking about this at the top, the fact that they are likely going to be 4-0 for the first time since 1995. The Bills now, post-Brady, they have an arch rival, and that is the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are, they got to be the favorites because there seems to be no tension at all. And it seems like with the Bills, either we're talking about the inconsistency of Josh Allen, and if not that, we're talking about the unhappiness of Stephon Diggs. And it just seems like with the Dolphins, we're not saying anything negative anymore. You know what I mean? The whole concussion and Tua thing, that's a thing of the past. He's playing with a whole new...
It is.
It's a thing of the past. He may get one again. I'm not dispelling that.
Yeah, but for him, it's not just another one. And the fact that it can come at any time is just, it'll never be a thing of the past.
What I'm saying is the retirement rhetoric that we heard from him, that we heard in some degree from his parents, we're not getting that same half, you know, one foot in, one foot out mentality. Tua's all in. He's bought in. And if he doesn't get hurt last year, that Dolphins team, I guarantee you, wins that division. No disrespect to, you know, Greg's Bills. And here's the fact of the matter. We have a guy in Mike McDaniel. He might be one of the best football minds we've ever seen in the history of the sport. He's that good.
Already?
He's that good.
Let him do something first.
Well, they almost,
let him win something first.
They almost beat Greg. They almost beat Greg's Bills with who's the guy?
Chef Brandy got a song. It's called "Almost Doesn't Count."
No, but who was there? Why am I drawing a blank on their quarterback last year? Like Tyler? No, it wasn't Tyler Huntley. You know who I'm talking about? He was the backup, and no one ever heard of him. And they lost by 3 points in Buffalo, mind you.
I was coughing. I didn't hear anything.
Gotcha. Greg, I don't like the Buff. I don't like the Bills' chances against a team that just put up 70 points in their sleep.
Oh, I'm depressed, Shep. Oh, okay. Hey, everyone, agents of inclusion, everyone go for your dreams. Peace out.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Peace. Later.
Skylar Thompson. You too, Greg. That's the quarterback. Why was I drawing a blank on his name?
He's gone now.
And that's the point, JR. He almost beat the Bills with a Skylar Thompson who 99% of us don't even know.
Keep going, Shep. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I know Tyreek Hill has floated the idea of retirement in the next couple years. You hate to see a guy with that kind of speed. He is the cheetah for a reason. He does run a legitimate 4.3 anytime he laces them up. The Dolphins are dangerous, and Tua, with good reason, is going to be the heavy favorite for MVP. I think he was eighth in terms of MVP rankings coming into the season. After week one, he was the first. Number one after week two, number one after week three. They are blowing teams off the field. It's like looking at varsity versus freshman. That's the kind of pace of play the Dolphins are playing with. That's the kind of swagger and confidence they have. It's scary for the rest of the league.
Yeah, I changed my mind. I mean, I mentioned this earlier on in the show. I'm going to go with... we'll go with Miami.
Thank you.
They got a losing streak up there in Buffalo. I'm gonna take them. Then this is more so now because Poyer is out. Damar Hamlin might probably see his first real game action for the season. Yeah, I'm gonna go Miami. They're looking good. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We got Ethan calling from Cleveland. What's up, Ethan? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how we doing?
We're good. What's up?
Hey, I just went to the Clevelander. It's pretty dead. A lot of water being served. I am a public bipolar. I'm trying to be kind of like a good guy. I don't drink a lot. Like at all. I'm trying to get sober, and this is a great opportunity to be on here with you guys.
Well, thank you. What's up?
I just wanted to spread the word that Cleveland is awesome, and I'm about to be moving here. So. Okay. I'm from here on. That's my hometown.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ethan.
Appreciate you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Shep, what was that call about? What did he say?
My understanding is he was getting sober, and he's recently a Cleveland transplant. So,
did he want to say something about the Browns or the Cavs?
I think
something?
He initially wanted to talk about the Browns, but then he just got really excited being on the air with you, and then his mind took over.
Oh. So he called up to talk about Cleveland sports. I don't know.
I know. It'd be nice. They haven't exactly had their share of success as of late. Donovan Mitchell can certainly attest to that.
Oh, that's right. You don't want to be there.
Exactly.
Not the first dude.
No.
855-212-4CBS. Daniel from Chicago about to say something about the Bears. Go ahead, Daniel.
How you doing, Mr.?
I'm good.
How
go
you
ahead.
Doing, Mr. JR? Okay, man of respect.
Thank you.
I need to let you know I support Mr. Shepard about the Alexa. I don't really like Alexa. I don't like it. It can't be in my house.
Oh, you've never used it ever?
No. Well, somebody bought it for me one time. I have to put it in the garbage.
You took Alexa and put it in the garbage? That thing costs money.
Yes, because I understand that, but you just keep on talking like, I don't know.
Well, you tell it to stop.
Know? Oh, yeah. You know, so something I don't really like, you know.
Yeah, to each his own. It works for me.
Okay.
That's it? Is that it? You just called to tell me about Alexa?
No, that's it. Okay. That's it. I'm just letting you know that everything is confusing. It's really bad in Chicago now.
Yeah.
So, but we, you know, I think going on, we're gonna win on Sunday
Against the Broncos.
You're gonna win on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. So when?
Okay. Good luck.
Well, we're gonna win on Sunday, and we're gonna win at least three in a row. That's what I'm just letting you know.
Right. All right.
That's right.
You also told me that you also told me before the season the Bears were going to the Super Bowl, and how that worked out.
No, we're not going to Super Bowl no more.
But you went three.
No, I don't think you. I don't think we can do that no more.
I'd agree. Okay, all right. Well, you drive safe, Daniel. You got a passenger in the back?
Yeah, I got a passenger. You want to talk to him? You can't. He doesn't speak to him.
No, it's okay. I want to make sure you maintain your 5-star rating. If they talk to me, it's going to drop. So keep driving.
That's right.
All right. Drive safe.
Okay, thank you.
All right, no problem. All right, good night.
Okay.
Shep, how does he have such a high rating? You think he's lying to us?
No, because when Daniel says man of respect, you can just hear the genuineness and the candor and the honesty that comes out of his voice. So I don't think he's putting us on.
If I was in an Uber and I'm sitting in the back and the Uber driver's on the phone with the radio guy and he's just like, hey, I got the radio guy. You want to talk? And be like, no.
I think that'd be an experience of a lifetime. I mean, JR, when you're...
To sit in the back of an Uber and talk to the radio guy?
When you are in an Uber, a Lyft, a taxi, you are at the discretion of the driver and what they want to listen
to. You got options. No, you don't.
That's not how it works in New York City. I mean, you are at the mercy of what the driver wants to listen to.
When I get in an Uber,
yes,
they ask me, what do you want to listen to? Probably nothing. And there's preferences. Do you want the car cool? Do you want it warm? Do you want to talk to the driver? Man, there's options.
Okay, so maybe that's being a celebrity, JR. Maybe that's what happens when you interview as many people as you have. No, because I have never, nor is there anyone I know that has entered any of these types of vehicles. And the first question they get asked is, what kind of temperature are you looking for, and what kind of music do you want to listen to?
No, it's in the app. It's in the app. When you order the car, it's like, what type of, you know, what do you
want?
What? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You determine what I've always been at the...
Well, not the music, but do I want to talk to the driver? Do you want it quiet, you know? Do you want
it
cool?
That's in the app?
Yeah, it's
the only thing I see is, like, premium pet. Comfort shared. I never see like talkative or garrulous driver as opposed to silent. I never see
just,
that.
Just like, oh yeah, do you want a quiet? You want a quiet? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I bet after talking to people for 4 hours every single night on a national basis, you want to have the most chatty driver in the world. That would be my guess.
Yeah, most times I get in the back and I want to, you know, read or do some work, you know? So, you know, I don't mind it quiet. But I'll talk to anybody that'll talk to me. I'll never be like, "Yo, shut up! I don't want to talk."
No, that's not who you are. I know that. But
even if I don't want to talk to you, I mean, I'm going to talk.
But JR, but in all seriousness, if I'm in the back of a car, and I have an opportunity to speak to somebody that does something on the highest level, whatever walk of life that may be in, I think that's kind of something that I would always embrace, and I think most people would too. That'd be a really unique ride.
Yeah, no, I want to talk to folks.
No, but if Daniel passed
the
phone.
Hello, how are you? How you doing today? What's up? But, you know, some people just like, they just go on and on and on and on and on. It's like, I'm in the car with you for 30, 40 minutes.
Sure.
We have to talk every second of every minute.
Well, like, you know, part of that is most people are insecure, so they're uncomfortable with silence. and they always feel like there needs to be a gap that's filled. It's like when you're on a subway or any kind of public transportation, the two people next to you won't shut up because they don't know how to just be present. Yeah, it happens all the time. When you're in a public setting and you're next to two people, and it always happens on some kind of public transportation. And of course, they always sit right next to you. People know what I'm talking about when I say this. And they are so loud, and they feel like their conversation is the most unique conversation in the history of human existence, and it has to be uttered, and it has to be at a certain level where there's no regard for anyone around them.
Some people can't help themselves.
Well, that's most people, though. Yeah. But to Daniel's point, if Daniel hands a phone in back and says, this is a national radio host, five nights a week, I think you should say something. I think that's a memorable experience that they're going to have for a long time.
For the back of the Uber?
Correct. Correct. And also, you got to read the room. It's a Friday. People are a little more loose with their mouth.
He's driving around drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
In Chicago.
They're going to be more friendly than ever before. They're going to want to talk to a stranger. That comes with the territory on a Friday night.
Yeah, guess what? Hey, look, I talk to strangers every night.
I like to think that, there's a lot of truth to that. We always have first-time callers, but there's also a good amount of return callers that we get every single night, too. So it kind of feels like a family.
Yeah, they're not strangers, but have I met any? I don't know, maybe.
I feel like if we hung out with Greg or Adam or Doug. Doug from Georgia or Dog from North Carolina or Ralph from Miami.
Who is Doug?
Doug from Georgia, he calls all the time.
Doug?
Calls all the time.
I talk to him all the time.
All the time. Or Robert from Annapolis.
Call us now. I don't know who the hell you are. Sorry.
Right. Or obviously Alan from Toronto. Yeah, Tom from Chicago. Yeah. I mean, Manny from Flushing. Okay. Like.
Yeah, we went through this.
Right.
People have been asking for a top set. Hold on. I'm about to die again.
So JR's not going to die for anyone. It's just tongue in cheek. I promise.
Somebody asked about a top six list of callers. I'm not doing that.
But I feel like with the callers we have, I feel like they do feel like it's a friend group. Like feel like the people that, like Lucius from California, all ages, great caller.
We should give out friendship bracelets like Taylor Swift did.
Well, let's be a little more original than that. Oh. Yeah.
What do we, embroidered shirts? I don't know.
I just think we got to just keep doing what we're doing. I think the whole friendship bracelet is this is all a gig. It's a publicity stunt. I think they both said to themselves, you know, Taylor Swift, it's interesting about her.
Here we go.
She is, I'm not exaggerating, JR. She's probably had 14 boyfriends in the last 14 years.
I thought you was going to say she's pretty, but go ahead.
I was just going to say she's pretty calculated. She's that kind of pretty because all of this is just to perpetuate a musical artist whose main hits come off of breakups.
And she's going to break up with Travis Kelce and make an album.
1,000%. 1,000%. Because she likes, in my opinion, she likes to play the victim card. She's talented. I'll give her that. She's immensely successful. She also likes to play the victim card.
Well, there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah. That's true.
Always trying to get something around to somebody who's playing the victim.
That's true. They're not going up on stage not knowing how to defend themselves, though. Let's put it that way.
I'm trying to reach for something.
Yeah.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. For the time being, I can actually speak without coughing up a lung. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to more of your calls before we roll out. But right now, we're not rolling to a news flash. We'll be back on the other side. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Kane is in the building.
Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
What's happening, JR? I love the show, man. I listen to you every night when I'm getting off work. You take me to the palace every night, buddy.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
to JR Sport. Hey, Shep, if I laugh and cough, okay?
Sir.
It's
yes,
about
sir.
To be curtains for me for the next 30
I
minutes.
I wish people heard that before you came on air, the remark you just made about a certain individual. That would have had anyone rolling. That was pretty good.
All right. Hey. Let me calm down my breathing here before I start coughing. 855-212-4CBS. Ralph is here from Miami. What's up, Ralph?
Good afternoon, Jerry. Thank you for having me on your show.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Just want to say, when it comes to the technology, Shep, don't agree with Alexa. I use basically the Google Home. I have my light hooked up to it, so I normally come home and tell it to turn on the light. And like you said, check the weather and everything. It does work perfectly beyond wonder. It's like a technology.
You're not scared of Google Home taking over your house?
No, why not? I'm using the Star Wars era right now. Basically, I could have somebody that tells me what is basically everything that's going on. I'd be happy.
Okay. All right.
But as far as the Dolphins, Jerry, what basically so far, I'm surprised. I'm basically happy with the win that they are, but I still see they still have area where they still need to improve. But against the Bills, I feel like what kind of a game are you expecting? Is it going to be like a low scoring game, or are you still going to believe that it's going to be like one of those quarterback battle games?
It's twofold. Buffalo, I think, has a better defense than people pay attention to or realize. And I mentioned this a bunch of times. Poyer is not going to be playing. I don't know what type of game it's going to be. Do I think we're going to have a 35-32 shootout? I don't think so. Is it possible? Hell yeah. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I don't think it's going to be low scoring. But I don't know if it's going to be super high.
All right, thank you very much for the information, Jerry, and have a great show.
You as well. Have a good night. Enjoy the game, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, no doubt about it. Spencer's calling from Dallas. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Spencer?
Dale, how you doing?
Amazing. What's going on?
I just thought I'd change the subject up a little bit. The USA is getting their asses kicked right now in the Ryder Cup. And now I'm going to ask two questions. If you were Captain Zach Johnson, how do you address the team? And second, because I'm a caddy, that's what I do for a living. How do you go to a more personal level and talk to your player? What would you say to these guys to try and wake them up? Because right now, this thing's going to be over tomorrow.
I have not been in depth on the Ryder Cup outside of what you said about the United States of America stinking. That's the extent of what I paid attention, and I said, what am I going to pay attention to this for if the U.S. sucks?
Hey, that's fair enough. And right now they're just getting absolutely boat raced, and obviously it's in Rome, so, European soil, but it's not looking good.
So if I am to tune in, what am I looking for? Not the United States. What else am I looking for?
See if Europe can set the record. The last time that they played the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits, where I actually spent the summer caddying that, the U.S. scored 19 points and had a record high. Now, can Europe get to 20, I guess, would be the real number, what you really want to look for.
That's the biggest storyline, to see if Europe is going to, like...
At this point, that's all I can think. I mean, right now, it's not looking good. Team morale's got to be at an all-time low. The U.S. is getting just destroyed, but...
Yeah, I'd rather watch the Jets
Europe's probably trying to rub it in.
Yeah, I'd rather watch the Jets get destroyed along with the Broncos, man. That's better watching for me.
Hey, I got a quick question for Spencer, if you don't mind. So I'm just, sure. I think most people would have this question too. So, like, the guys like Stricker and Furyk, they're captains, right? If memory serves me correctly?
Yeah, Stricker was the captain for the team at Whistling Straits last year.
Right,
2 years
right.
Ago.
So are they part of match play?
They don't play, no.
Okay. Well, listen, correct me if I'm wrong. But he has a recent runner-up. He's won a major 2-3 years ago. I know he's heavily involved with LIV. Where the hell is Phil Mickelson?
Gambling? Oh, not gambling. Sorry.
Well, yeah, that whole gambling deal was a big issue. But he didn't get invited as a so the captain, Zach Johnson, gets to pick his co-captain.
That's ridiculous. Phil Mickelson should be playing golf, though. Forget whatever he is off the course.
Seriously, isn't he in rehab?
He's not good enough. He's not good enough to make that team. Not even close.
Really?
Which is saying a lot, because they let Justin Thomas on that team.
And Fowler. I know Fowler had like a very recent renaissance, but he's been basically missing in action the last 5 years.
Yeah, he played really good this year. He qualified by points. He was not a captain's pick. He actually qualified.
Got it. It's just weird not seeing. I mean, I know Tiger hasn't been the same for a while now, but it's just weird not seeing Phil or Tiger on a Ryder Cup.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
You've been keeping up this year, Shep.
Well, I mean, to some degree, but I Spencer sounds like he's really into this, so I wanted to pick his brain on this because, you know, I think of the days of Payne Stewart, you know, RIP, the late great Payne Stewart. I think of those days with Ryder Cup. I mean, this is
because
no, you're right, JR. No one's talking about this. No one's paying attention to Ryder Cup anymore because the team does suck.
Yeah, this year they're really bad, and it's always tough with a Ryder Cup that's in Europe because the times, I mean, they're probably about to tee off right now, like in the next 5 minutes.
At 7 a.m?
Yeah, like right now at 12, well, I'm in Texas, so 12:35 in the morning is when they teed off yesterday.
Oh, well, damn. Yeah, man, I'll be on my fifth dream by then, yeah. Okay, anything else?
That's all I got, man. Thanks for taking the call.
No, thank you for educating us. Thank you, Spencer, for calling from Dallas. Yeah, man, look, if they get in the ass, what I'm watching for in the morning? That's like somebody called and asked, I don't know, what, USA Basketball a couple of weeks? You going to stand up and, no, I will not. No, thanks.
You know what they both have in common?
They're losers.
And they're both not going to place.
Yeah. Well, United States of America, they asked what about Canada. Can you imagine if they played them in the Olympics? That'll be interesting.
Well, you know, obviously you've talked about this. I mean, you know, LeBrons of the world, I mean, they've made it known that they're going to play in the Olympics. So it's going to be a much different story. Guys like Anthony Davis are going to play.
Sure, so. But the fact Canada should still be, they'll be pretty good. Sign me up. I'll watch, what's that idiot's name? I'll watch Dylan Brooks and LeBron chirp at each other.
Let me tell you
in the
something.
Olympics.
Every single game, Dylan Brooks should think it's an international competition the way he played.
When is somebody going to elbow him in the side of the head?
Would have happened.
He needs
would have
one
happened
of them.
Already.
Remember who? What?
Would have happened already.
Did it?
No, that's what I'm saying. The NBA, and this is a very old man get off my lawn. Well, nobody holds him accountable, Dylan Brooks. So he's gotten away with this behavior. And then when the Grizzlies lost prematurely for the 2 years in a row, they wanted to make him the scapegoat instead of Taylor Jenkins and management.
No, they didn't. He chatted. He didn't make him the scapegoat.
JR, they could have benched him, and they never did. They never benched
they didn't,
once.
But they didn't make him the scapegoat. They were sick of him, and they were like, all right, get out of here.
If they were so sick of him, why are they starting him every single game?
Because he's one of their best players. That doesn't mean that they're not sick of him running his yap.
Well,
that was the straw. What is it? The straw that broke the camel's back?
No, that's exactly what it is. And I understand John Morant was a headache in terms of his extracurricular activities. No, but the point is, there was never even, maybe there was stuff done privately. There was never any serious conversation nor shifting when it came to the behavior of Dylan Brooks. And Taylor Jenkins was constantly asked about Brooks, whether he was the distraction or not, and whether he was revving up LeBron James for no damn good reason outside of just ego. And Taylor's like, no, that's Dylan Brooks' personality. That's what got him here. That's what got him to
coaches,
the dance. He's not going to change.
Well, you're saying a bunch of things. You saying that he was the scapegoat?
He was.
You're saying he got the boot, or they fired him basically.
Without even having a conversation at the end of the season. They didn't even give him an opportunity to get in the room to talk an extension. They cut him a second after the season
but
ended.
But that's not to say he's a scapegoat. Is to say that we are blaming him on our season stinking and us being eliminated.
JR, optically, that's how it came off.
I don't think so. Well, that's a weak optic. They gave him the boot because he didn't know how to shut up, and he became a problem. That's it. I don't think anybody looked at. Well, yeah, people obviously did, but ain't no scapegoat. Look, when you got a depth in the team, he ain't the best player. Did he play like crap? Yeah, but what got him out of there was his mouth. I don't think it was, hey, we getting rid of you because you're the reason why we lost. No, we're getting rid of you for one simple reason. Because you talked a lot of crap, and you made it more difficult for everybody, and you should shut up and be more of a professional instead of walking around trying to be the Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dennis Rodman basketball player. Like, ain't nobody trying to deal with that. So they gave him the boot, and I can't wait until somebody gives him a boot to his backside. He needs a Ron Artest elbow to the side of his head. The sooner that happens, the better. I know my man Serge Ibaka is playing in Europe. I need Serge to come back and give him one good elbow. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get some more of your calls before we roll out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I want to just thank you for all you do to the nation. I've been very analytical, and just looking at you, I can always say one thing. When you say, you know, I don't disagree with what you're saying, I think that's the biggest compliment that you give to people, and your marketing edge is that you're doing it on the radio, which is like the telephone versus, you know, being in front of the camera, and you know your stuff, man.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Ryan Hickey's coming through at the top of the hour to take you the rest of the way. I feel like my voice is now a little stable. Of course, it feels better when I got to shut up in a few minutes. And so let's talk to you, 855-212-4CBS. We got Ozzy calling from Pittsburgh. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Ozzy?
Hello. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind, Ozzy?
Well, I was thinking of calling in about the Steelers, and then you mentioned Taylor Swift, and I thought that I'd talk about that instead, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Okay, you know about Taylor Swift?
Well, sadly, so the problem is I go to middle school, and I think most girls at my middle school are, I would say, rabid would be a good word to describe them when it comes to Taylor Swift.
Why? But, why do you like her so much?
I'm with you, man. I have no clue.
Oh, who's your favorite musician? Who do you like?
I like Kendrick Lamar. I like Kanye. Yeah.
You said Kendrick Lamar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you like his cousin? What's his cousin's name?
Baby Keem.
Yeah, I love Keem. Yeah.
You listen to
how old are you?
I'm 12.
Oh my goodness. There's a lot of vulgarity in that music. You listen to the edited version, right? No.
Nope.
No.
No.
Okay. Well, how you feel about your Steelers?
I'm feeling pretty good. We had a good win against the Raiders. I think the Texans should be an easy game, and then that Ravens game is a must win. We really have to win that.
You believe in Kenny Pickett?
No, but I think that we have enough weapons for him to at least, I don't know, do something.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So, no, it should be a good one. But I know C.J. Stroud has looked good, but it'd be disappointing if the Steelers don't walk away with a victory. I hear that. All right, Ozzy, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, have a good night. Yeah, he knows about Baby Keem. That's my guy. I listen to Baby Keem in my car. 855-212-4CBS. Mark is calling from Maine. What's up, Mark?
How's it going, JR? A couple things I want to mention. First off, JR, you are the truth, man. If CBS is listening, this is your golden egg right here, JR. You are the truth, and we love you very much, man. Everything you say, can't miss radio. Also, Ozzy, 12 years old, calling in. Much respect. Love that attitude from a young kid, man.
Yeah.
Listening to Kendrick Lamar, Baby Keem.
He says he listens to Baby Keem and Kanye.
I'm feeling that. Like, I love that attitude, man. I love that attitude.
I don't know if I want my 12-year-old listening to Baby Keem. I guess you can't help it as well.
No, they listen to worse on the playground, my man.
I guess.
In my playground, they did. In Northern California, you know, the crazy areas, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to point out Dylan Brooks. I went to Oregon State University. I cannot wait for Gary Payton II to teach Dylan Brooks a little something about what it's like to be a real person in the NBA. That would make me so happy to see him drop a little U of O duck action down to the ground, because that guy, he talks and talks and talks. He does not back it up, and he is 100%. Should be blamed, I think, for what happened to the Grizzlies. You can't poke a bear like LeBron and then not be able to back it up. You can't do anything with that. But one thing I did want to point out, I want to talk a little bit about my Buccaneers. I'm a real Buccaneer fan, like a true Buccaneer fan. So, like, I don't expect us to win more than 8 games. Yeah, no. Those are I got nothing for those. I have no love for them. You know, we're expecting 8 wins tops. That's a real Buccaneer fan right there. But my question is,
that's the whole NFC South. Everybody's in that 8 win slot. Yeah.
Oh, it's gross. It's gross. It's awful. But like 8 wins is like, that's a good year for the Buccaneers. You know, just pre Tom Brady. But what I'm saying is, like, yeah, we did lay an egg with the Eagles for sure. But like, why are people so like, you know, you saw the mock drafts, you know, a month ago, you know, we're picking like number one overall. Why are people picking the Bucs to win 3 games, 4 games?
I don't know. I mean, the defense is good. The offense is adequate. They are an average team, as you said. So,
Godwin and Evans? I mean, like, why are they so much worse than, like, the Lions? Are you trying to tell me that Jared Goff is so much better than Baker?
They're going to be in the same range that they were last year. That's just the reality of it, man.
Yeah, so a playoff game, like. I don't know. I'm curious to see, like, you know, everyone's in love with the Lions, and their defense is solid. So is the Buccaneers. Our offense is Godwin and Evans. They have St. Brown and Laporta. Like, I guess I don't see, and I'd love to hear why you think that the Lions are so much more favored than the Bucs, is my question.
Well, the Lions are an aggressive team, and it's pretty much the coach. I think the coach is really moving the needle. I think they have more dynamic weapons that they haven't even unleashed yet. We got Jamison Williams coming back. Mm-hmm. We have Jahmyr Gibbs that they haven't utilized. I mean, it's upside. This is the facts. Like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have they're on a downside, and they're probably going to go down more before they get back up. Mark, I'm towards the end of the show. I appreciate you for calling for me.
Much love, JR. Much love.
Thank you. Hey, Paul from Rhode Island, go ahead. You got to go very quickly, Paul.
Okay, thank you, JR. I want to thank you for how you embrace your callers. A lot of them are lonely, and you don't know the other side of the coin.
Okay.
But how professional you are to respect every state in this country, how you take them in and you embrace them.
Oh, well, thank you,
Getting
Paul.
Back to my Lions.
Oh, Paul, you have
we are
like,
savages.
You have 15 seconds.
Okay, we are savages. Can we get the first base and win the division and maybe win one game?
What?
One game in the playoffs.
Who?
The Lions.
Who is we?
We are the Detroit Lions. We're
you
making
said get
a
the
statement
first base.
This year.
Okay, that's why I was confused. All right, Paul, thank you. All right, be safe.
Thank you, JR. And I'm retired today.
God bless you. Enjoy retirement, okay?
Thank you, my man.
No problem. Don't call me in retirement. What are we going to get more calls? Anyway, he's like, hey, can the Lions get the first base? Who? What? Hey, the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio is done. I'll be back Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. Thank you much to Shep. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over the country. Don't move here on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan Hickey's next.
Summer may be over, but the beach is open. Whether you're a longtime Bachelor fan or never seen a single show, this season of Bachelor in Paradise is for you. The premise of the show is pretty straightforward. You've got 20 beautiful singles living on a beach with one goal, to find love. There's sure to be romance, laughter, and complete chaos. Love triangles will form, so will love squares, and even love hexagons. 'Cause life's a beach, and then you cry, and cry some more. Yes, this season is going to be bananas. But after 8 years of successfully uniting soulmates and marriage and kids, there is still magic in paradise. So only one question remains. Who will find love next? Bachelor in Paradise premieres Thursday, September 28th, 9, 8 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
The big question is Desmond Ridder. The problem that I think a lot of fans are having and looking at Desmond Ridder is they just haven't seen enough. They want to trust him. They want to believe. But I will tell you this, Jason. In the training camp sessions that I had a chance to go check out, the one thing that bothered me was his aggressiveness to throw the football when he needed to.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.